Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Idaho Governor Brad Little signs numerous bills, one playing into conspiracy theories about COVID. Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador announces review of police killing of Pocatello teen Victor Perez. Spokesman review newspaper to transfer ownership to nonprofit. And Bernie Sanders and AOC and others speak at giant Nampa rally. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. But first, world headlines from Feature Story News, the Pacifica Radio Network, and the Public News Service. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Governor Brad Little has signed a slew of bills this week, including a repeal of his Empowering Parents Education Microgrant Program. The governor got the legislature to fund his education microgrant program in 2022, and it had a $30 million per year price tag. Money for the program came from federal COVID funds. The fund was popular, but state officials investigated the families participating in the program and found some inappropriate purchases. Little wrote, "We stood up this program during the pandemic to help counter learning loss from the disruptions in the delivery of education, and it was successful in providing families more education options for their children outside the classroom. Now that the pandemic is squarely in the rearview mirror and students have long been back in school, I agree with the legislature that this program served its purpose." The Empowering Parents program provided education grants of up to $1,000 per student or $3,000 per family that could only be used for approved purchases from a designated vendor. The legislature this year passed a bill giving parents $5,000 per year for private or religious school tuition. Governor Little also signed a bill eliminating the right of some people to get a public defender if they are facing termination of parental rights in court. Supporters of the bill say the Sixth Amendment right to an attorney only applies in criminal cases. House Minority Leader Elena Rubel of Boise argued against the bill in the legislature, saying, "I can hardly think of anything more central to due process than losing your children. If I had to choose between losing my kids and a firing squad, it would be close. I might go with the firing squad." Governor Little has signed a bill allowing the sale of ivermectin over the counter. The Food and Drug Administration has not approved ivermectin to treat or prevent COVID-19. Although conspiracy theorists and then-President Trump promoted it during the pandemic, the Food and Drug Administration says on its website, large doses of ivermectin can be dangerous. Overdoses can cause death, and human appropriate doses can interact with other medications such as blood thinners. Idaho Governor Brad Little has used the line item veto for the first time as governor, deleting part of a budget bill that zero-funded his emergency budget. The governor said in a statement emailed to the Idaho Press he used the fund a number of times in the last few years, including the $1 million he sent to the Moscow Police Department while they were looking for the quadruple knife murderer who struck Moscow in 2022. Little wrote in his email, "As leaders, we need the tools to be agile in responding to crises that affect our citizens. I line item vetoed this budget bill because eliminating the governor's emergency fund only hinders our ability to respond quickly in a fast-moving situation. I share the legislature's vigor for ensuring government is efficient, but citizens expect government to be responsive in times of crisis." Little had asked for $1.35 million to replenish the emergency fund. Republican Representative Josh Tanner of Eagle criticized the veto, noting the governor has access to a separate fund called the Disaster Emergency Account, which has $31 million in it. And you're tuned into the KRFP Evening Report on KRFP Moscow Pullman.
A unique approach to preventing youth homelessness in Washington is proving highly effective, with more than 93% of participants still housed 1 year later. The Homelessness Prevention and Diversion Fund provides flexible aid to young people in 9 Washington counties. In its first 3 years, it has helped more than 1,700 young people find safe housing. Washington has the nation's third highest homelessness rate, and supporters say the program saves money by removing red tape and keeping youth out of shelters. The strategy, says North Star Advocates Jim Theophilus, is simple. Ask youth what they need.
We actually asked a young person, where can you live and what will that take to make that happen? Which is a very different approach than saying, go to that shelter 3 miles down and take a right.
Instead of using a central nonprofit, Theophilus says the program trains advocates in places where homeless youth go for help, like drop-in centers and fire stations, so they can quickly access funds to get into safe housing. Lawmakers are considering cuts to the program, which Theophilus warns would raise state costs and reduce support for young people. Most young people have somewhere safe they can go, Theophilus adds, but they may need a small financial boost to make the transition.
Some people will say, I could live with grandma, but she's really poor and she needs some help. Or I'm 23, I have 2 friends and I could get a room with them if I had first and last month's rent.
Theophilus says youth typically face more steps to find housing, starting with shelters and case management, while HPDF is much faster. After an application, advocates ensure the housing is safe and send a one-time payment averaging $2,700 directly where it's needed. Theophilus says this is much cheaper than other strategies.
We're saving emergency shelter beds, all kinds of other funding sources that come into play once they hit the street. We really think this saves money and helps reduce our budget deficit, as well as saving lives.
Of the teens and young adults the program has served, about 60% are people of color and nearly 40% are pregnant or parenting. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
Thanks, y'all.
Boise-based indie rock band Built to Spill warmed up the capacity crowd of 12,500 people at the Ford Idaho Center in Nampa before an anti-authoritarian rally led by U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont and U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York. Before Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez spoke, there was a warm-up speech by Treasure Valley family physician Dr. Penny Beach, who addressed the precarious health care situation in Idaho, brought on in part by Idaho's repressive abortion laws, which don't allow for an exception when the health of the mother is at risk during an emergency during pregnancy. Here's Dr. Penny Beach.
My name is Dr. Penny Beach, and I'm speaking representing myself as a family doctor working at a federally qualified health center, or FQHC, right here in Idaho. What's an FQHC, you might ask? It's a partially government-funded, community-based health center that cares for people who have been forgotten by our healthcare system. These are working Idahoans who don't make enough to afford private health insurance, or perhaps a single parent who lost their job and is looking for work but can't work without taking care of their health needs first, or refugees who are trying to start a new life in our community after fleeing violence in their home countries. Or children whose only chance to see a doctor is because of programs like Medicaid. I myself am a product of government programs. I joined the National Health Service Corps to help pay for my medical school tuition. I went to a community health center to do my public service loan forgiveness time. And I continued to work in community health for the last 24 years here in Idaho. because my service has given me a passion for helping those most in need. Without federal health care programs, many of my patients would have nowhere to go, nowhere. No treatment for their diabetes, no prenatal care, no help for their depression, no help for their addiction. We are not talking about statistics here. We are talking about real people. Real Idahoans. And real consequences if they don't receive health care. Now more than ever, the ability to provide health care in Idaho is under threat. We are 50th, that's dead last, in the country for physicians per capita. We have created laws that criminalize health care providers and have led to almost 25% fewer OBGYNs practicing in the state. We've seen labor and delivery units shut down. We've seen several attempts to repeal Medicaid expansion despite overwhelming public support. Our rural clinics and critical access hospitals are under tremendous strain and struggle to keep their doors open. We cannot keep going like this, and we can't afford some giant federal spending cut that will gut vital programs. It's wrong, and we're here to say enough. For the ultra wealthy, we need Medicare, Medicaid, hospitals, and community health centers. We need to treat healthcare as a human right, not a luxury.
That was Treasure Valley family physician Dr. Penny Beach, who was one of the warm-up speeches at the Nampa, Idaho stop of Senator Bernie Sanders' Fighting Oligarchy tour yesterday. People are disappearing in the United States. They are disappearing to ICE detention centers far from their homes, and they're disappearing in the desert regions near the U.S. border. They are also disappearing when plainclothes men with guns show up and take away legal immigrants and send them to ICE prisons in the U.S. and a human rights abusing prison in El Salvador. Human rights groups say since the Trump administration is sending people to El Salvador without due process, the prison there accepting those people is in actuality a concentration camp. To Democratic U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, that's a sign of autocracy. Ocasio-Cortez gave the capacity crowd of 12,500 people at the Ford Idaho Center in Nampa encouragement in fighting back against the newly installed oligarchy.
This concentration of power, greed, and corruption is oligarchy. It's oligarchy in America. And we must acknowledge the terrifying moment that we are in right now, and that what we are hearing and seeing with our own eyes is, in fact, happening. We are watching as our neighbors, students, and friends are being fired, targeted, and disappeared. This is real. People we love are being targeted and harassed just for being LGBTQ. Our workers, our co-workers, U.S. citizens and immigrants alike are being disappeared off the street by men in vans with no uniform. Educators are being fired for teaching American history accurately. and activists are being detained with no charge or evidence for using their First Amendment rights, especially if they are being used to end the war in Gaza. In fact, the Trump administration admits that it has jailed Mahmoud Khalil, a young husband and father from where I come from in New York, without any evidence or charge of a crime. They openly admit that they have thrown him in a cell thousands of miles away because he attended a protest and they did not like the content of his speech. And Donald Trump's detention of Mahmoud Khalil for his speech is anti-American too. And we demand his release, along with the release of Rumeysa Ozturk, who he is also jailing for writing an op-ed in her school paper. You know, Idaho, I am so touched being here. I'm a girl from the Bronx. And to be welcomed here in this state, all of us together, seeing our common cause, this is what this country is all about. Don't let them trick us into thinking we are enemies. Don't let them trick us into thinking we can be separated into rural and urban, black and white and Latino. We are one. And we make these demands because we do have power in this moment. All of us do. Everyday people do. And it will never, this is important, it will never be just institutions and politicians and officials alone that uphold our democracy. It will always be the people, the masses, who refuse to comply with authoritarian regimes, who are the last and strongest defense of our country and our freedoms. It is you. It is you, Idaho. This concentration of power, greed, and corruption is oligarchy. It's oligarchy in America. And we must acknowledge the terrifying moment that we are in right now, and that what we are hearing and seeing with our own eyes is, in fact, happening. We are watching as our neighbors, students, and friends are being fired, targeted, and disappeared. This is real. People we love are being targeted and harassed just for being LGBTQ. Our workers, our co-workers, U.S. citizens and immigrants alike are being disappeared off the street by men in vans with no uniform. Educators are being fired for teaching American history accurately. And activists are being detained with no charge or evidence for using their First Amendment rights, especially if they are being used to end the war in Gaza. In fact, the Trump administration admits that it has jailed Mahmoud Khalil, a young husband and father from where I come from in New York, without any evidence or charge of a crime. They openly admit that they have thrown him in a cell thousands of miles away because he attended a protest and they did not like the content of his speech. And Donald Trump's detention of Mahmoud Khalil for his speech is anti-American too. And we demand his release, along with the release of Rumeysa Ozturk, who he is also jailing for writing an op-ed in her school paper. You know, Idaho, I am so touched being here. I'm a girl from the Bronx. And to be welcomed here in this state, all of us together, seeing our common cause, this is what this country is all about. trick us into thinking we are enemies. Don't let them trick us into being weak and being into thinking we can be separated into rural and urban, black and white and Latino. We are one. And we make these demands because we do have power in this moment. All of us do. Everyday people do. And it will never, this is important, it will never be just institutions and politicians and officials alone that uphold our democracy. It will always be the people, the masses, who refuse to comply with authoritarian regimes, who are the last and strongest defense of our country and our freedoms. It is you. It is you, Idaho.
That was Alexandria Octavio-Cortez of New York speaking at the Ford Idaho Center in Nampa yesterday. There's no shortage of issues bringing together progressives in Idaho and other states, but the overarching issue during U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders' rally in Nampa yesterday was the need to fight oligarchy. Senator Sanders spoke to a capacity crowd of 12,500 people at the Ford Idaho Center, coming off an event in Utah that drew 20,000 and one over the weekend in Los Angeles that drew 36,000 people and kicked off the latest leg of Sanders' Fighting Oligarchy tour. To Sanders, democracy is our defense against oligarchy, and he set about defending it. Here's Senator Sanders speaking in Nampa.
We want a government of the people, by the people, for the people, not a government of the billionaire class, for the billionaire class, and by the billionaire class. And right now, unbelievable, as we speak, you got the wealthiest guy on earth, Mr. Musk. Mr. Musk, you don't hear about this much in the corporate media or on the halls of Congress. Mr. Musk himself owns five times more wealth than the bottom half of the households in America. One man. And this guy is running all over Washington, D.C., slashing the Social Security Administration. And what that means is elderly and disabled people will find it increasingly difficult to get the benefits they paid into. This guy is proposing to cut 83,000 jobs from the Veterans Administration. These are the men and women who put their lives on the line to defend our country. We owe them everything. And we're not going to allow Musk and his friends to cut VA benefits. And when we talk about oligarchy, it's not just economic power, it is political power. Right now, in this last election, Musk spent $270 million to elect Donald Trump as president. You get one vote. Musk gets one vote plus $270 million. To elect Trump, and his reward is to become the most powerful person in government. But it is not just Musk and the Republican Party. The Democrats have their billionaires as well. And if you want to know why the Democrats over the years have not been as strong as they should be in standing up for working class people, it has a lot to do with the power of those billionaires. So I know that I speak not just for progressives or moderates or conservatives. I think I both speak for every American who understands that in our democracy, we cannot allow billionaires to buy elections. In America, one person, one vote, not billionaires buying elections. And that is why we got to overturn this disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision. I want to say a word about the oligarchs, because it's something I really don't quite understand. One might think that if you had $10, $20, $30 billion, it would be enough. You might think that. But, you know, in America, we have a lot of people who are dealing with addiction issues, drugs, alcohol, or whatever. Well, these guys, these oligarchs, have a major, major addiction problem. And you know what it is? It is greed. They're like heroin addicts. They can't control themselves. They need more and more. And they do not care who they step over in order to get another $1 billion. So we are going to take care of their addiction problems. We're going to end their greed. But brothers and sisters, it is not just oligarchy we are dealing with right now. We are dealing with a president who undermines our Constitution every single day, who threatens our freedom of speech and assembly, and whose agents, as we speak, are rounding up innocent people off the streets, throwing them into unmarked vans and taking them to detention centers in this country or elsewhere. Can you imagine? I don't know if some of you saw some of these videos. Woman walks down the street, suddenly car stops, these guys come in plain clothes, masks on, throw her into a car and whisk her off someplace. Happened in Vermont today. That is what happens in dictatorships, not in democracies. We're not going to let Trump and his friends get away with that. And again, I don't care whether you're a conservative or a progressive. Men and women have fought to defend our democracy and our Constitution. And we're not going to let Trump destroy that Constitution.
That was U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont speaking at the Ford Idaho Center in Nampa yesterday. Also on the bill was Democratic U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Wow, it's coming up really soon.
Ever contemplate the planet's current political conundrum?
We got the biggest conundrums. We got the biggest ones you've ever seen. The big conundrums, they're huge.
Ranger skills. The real radio dinner and auction.
It's Friday, April 18th.
Silent auction plus live auction.
Some of the big auction items include rooms at the Best Western.
Limited print Taylor Swift double album on vinyl.
Pairs of tickets to Rendezvous in the Park, starring the original Wailers and Clifton Chenier.
We are young despite the years.
Pairs of tickets to the Punk Palouse Festival.
Certificate to rent the whole Kenworthy for a night.
Gift basket, Happy Hog Meats, Hodgins, Zips, John's Alley, One World Cafe, and tie-dye everything.
Tickets available at krfp.org and tie-dye everything.
You're tuned to the KRFP Evening Report. Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador has announced he will review the findings of the investigation into the police killing of 17-year-old autistic teen Victor Perez of Pocatello. Police shot Perez on Saturday, April 5th, as he was standing on the other side of a chain-link fence with a knife in his hand. The nonverbal autistic teen was seen carrying a knife and stepped towards police, who thought he was intoxicated. Perez's aunt, Anna Vasquez, said her nephew was unsteady on his feet and has cerebral palsy. The shooting occurred at Perez's home. Police shot Perez 9 times, and he died this past Saturday, prompting a protest by 300 people at Pocatello City Hall Saturday afternoon. In social media posts, many locals questioned why the four officers appeared to not try to de-escalate the situation before resorting to lethal force. Vasquez told a local television station, they took nine bullets out at that kid. When the officers came, they didn't even ask what's going on. Video shows four police officers running toward Perez with their guns drawn, surrounding him from outside the fence. Perez stood with the knife visible, and in 12 seconds after arriving, police shot him. The Bannock County Sheriff's Office leads the Eastern Idaho Critical Incident Task Force, which is investigating the shooting. Bannock County Prosecutor Ian Johnson said he at first decided to hand over the Critical Incident Task Force's report to another prosecutor, but then decided to send it to Labrador's office. Attorney General Labrador issued a news release today, which said, as with all such matters, the Office of the Attorney General will conduct a thorough and impartial review once the Eastern Idaho Critical Incident Task Force completes its investigation. Given the seriousness of the matter and the ongoing investigation, our office will not be making further public comments at this time. During Saturday's protest against the police killing, two Pocatello police officers took up positions on a nearby rooftop, aiming their rifles at the protest. Criminal defense attorney Jennifer Call of Snake River Criminal Defense published a statement on social media Sunday, which said, yesterday, during a peaceful protest following the death of Victor Perez, the city of Pocatello deployed snipers. Protesters were grieving. They were asking questions, and they were met with visible militarized force. We must ask hard questions when rifles are aimed at peaceful crowds. When government police chills free speech, we all lose something we can't get back. Today I submitted public records requests to both the city of Pocatello and the FBI. I'm asking for communications, tactical plans, threat assessments, and training materials. If this level of force was truly necessary, it should be clearly documented and made available to the public. We can't protect constitutional rights if we're too afraid to question how power is used, and we can't rebuild trust until we shine a light on how these decisions are made. I will share everything I receive with the public. The Cowles family plans on donating the Spokesman Review newspaper to a Spokane-based community nonprofit organization. According to a report in the Spokesman Review website, Comma Community Journalism Lab plans to continue publishing the paper, which has new editions daily except Saturdays. The Spokesman Review distributes its print edition on the Palouse Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays. Current Spokesman Review Executive Director Rob Curley founded the Comma Community Journalism Lab. Spokesman Review publisher Stacy Cowles plans to transfer the paper from the Cowles Company to Comma and award a $2 million matching grant to the nonprofit. Cowles said, "It's been a great venture for 132 years, but if you had the chance to extend its viability, as people know and love it, why would you not do that? We firmly believe this is a great plan, and the community and Comma have the resources to carry it off. Of course, we're going to be helping to whatever extent that we can. We're super excited to see this go." Curley said the paper will continue to publish the print edition 6 days per week and continue with its paywall news site, but stories by reporters who are funded by outside grants will be available for free on the website. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather for the Moscow Pullman area, there'll be increasing clouds tonight with a low of 43. for the Moscow Pullman area. Mostly cloudy through mid-morning tomorrow, then becoming sunny, high 58. Light and variable wind becoming northwest 10 to 15 in the morning. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Mostly clear Wednesday night, low 29, north wind 15, gusts up to 25. And clear skies Thursday through Saturday with a high of 54 Thursday, 58 Friday, and 61 on Saturday. Lows 31 Thursday night and 36 Friday night. Currently 63 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There are tickets available for the Real Radio Dinner, which is coming up this Friday, 6 p.m. at the 1912 Center. 6 p.m. mixer, 7 p.m. dinner, 8 o'clock live auction. That's coming up this weekend, and it's a way to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP. I'm Lee Robartas. Have a good night. Coming up next, Flashpoints, and then we will have Under Construction, a show about local community building, live on the air at 7:30. Stay tuned for more. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Friends of the Clearwater, a 501c3 environmental nonprofit dedicated to protecting your public lands. FOC is defending the wildlands, wildlife, and waterways of North Central Idaho for future generations. Friendsoftheclearwater.org.